Welcome. This is Winning at Life, talking about new deals coming out, you know, green deals. Here's a green deal for you. Make more money. Save more money. That's the green deal I like. I want more. How about you? I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm your co-host, James Parker. I like that. This show is the original green deal. Yeah, they're the new green deal. We're the original. We're the first. Beat you to it. 504-260-0995. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, that's what this show's all about. The guy across the table from me, Gregory, is a Hall of Fame financial advisor. Loves to answer your questions. You can call via the app, send a text via the app, or the old-fashioned way, 504-260-0995.
You know, you go to some of the hotels, and they'll have the signs there, like, hang your towels up. You know, they're trying to be green. They just don't want to have to wash the towels every day or change the sheets every day.
Well, like you skipped over that. I know this conversation. The new process in some of these hotels where they say if you want a new towel, do you leave it on the floor? If you don't want a new towel hanging up, there's a system. I never pay attention.
I have a habit of hanging up a towel.
Uh-huh.
I just don't like to wad them up because, you know, they're wet and they sit too long like that could be problematic. So I have, but I learned I can't do that at a hotel if I want fresh towels. So my green is let's get some more green. You know, all the money used to be green. Now, you know, it has variation of colors right now, but thinking green is positive. Thinking green is growing. Thinking green is accumulation. And if we can, look, I'm more about less taxes, not more.
Amen.
Now, I'm fine. Whatever rules they set, that's the rules I go by. But they do give us opt-outs. So we, you know, like a Roth IRA is an opt-out. We can grow it and not have to pay taxes. There's other methods in the tax code that allows you to not pay taxes. You know, Warren Buffett, I read a quote from him again, and he says, from a tax percentage, his secretary shouldn't have to pay a higher percentage of taxes than he does. Well, see, his income essentially and wealth is from investments, Berkshire Hathaway. Worth a lot of money. He doesn't necessarily draw a big income, so he's not getting taxed that way. So she technically pays a higher percentage in taxes. So, you know, my thing is if we could save on taxes with what they allow us to do, they're the ones that make the rules. If they're unhappy about it, okay, that's their problem. They made the rules. They all voted. Maybe the one's not in those seats in Congress, but, you know, Congress did vote, President did sign it, and we have lower percentages, higher standard deduction, and if they're along the way in the code, there's things that you can do to minimize taxes, you know, like the renting your house out for 14 days is non-reportable income. It's in the tax code. So what does that mean? That means more green for me, more green for you. That's what we're about. We're going to have to give our show another name. This is the Green Show. We're all about the green, keeping it and getting more.
See, I like that.
I'm on a roll here, but.
But that would be confusing because to many in the outside world, green means something else.
I know. And we're not going to do that. I'm just saying, you know, because it's just the green is about.
This is the original green deal. I like that. Or the old green
deal. No, we're not going to use that as our saying or whatever, but I'm just throwing it out there. That's kind of what we're about. Not paying more, and I don't mind working, running a business. I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to do nothing and get paid. It won't pay enough. There's not enough green there.
Right. That's
it. Get it?
There's not,
you get it?
Okay, I got it. There's not a big demand for doing nothing. Right.
No, that's not in high demand.
Hey, so, you know, we have these events that you do, the Gregory Ricks Live, and it was just the Wine, Wisdom, and Food. You know, people that were thinking about financial planning, getting an advisor, getting some help. But we're sort of branching out, and we're doing other topics. You know, there's a tax one coming up. There's an estate plan one coming up, but...
Yeah, so we're doing lunch and learns, but there's a little bit more to that because we'll be doing these consistently. We're not having a big room. We're seating 16 people for lunch. And my wife and I, Stacy, was talking about this a little bit ago. And it's lunch and learns, but the one coming up, I believe it's the 19th, is yes. It's a lunch and learn about tax planning is essentially what it is about. Then the one on the 25th is lunch and learn about estate planning. And I'm going to have a bonus topic for each of them as well. Now, with the estate planning, Wes Blanchard, attorney at law, is going to be there. It's kind of his thing is estate planning. So he's going to talk about that. And I'm going to do a bonus topic along with that. This first lunch and learn regarding the tax planning, I'm holding that. Jude can't make that event. So he'll be at an upcoming. But I'm going to help you out with that. And the bonus topic could be about building some tax-free income, adding green, more money to your account.
Well, on our next weekly wrap, Wes Blanchard is the guest. And so we were talking about the event, and then we were talking about what we're going to do on the weekend show. And the question I was trying to nail down to him is, you know, I'm tired of asking him who needs an estate plan, and he says everybody, because that doesn't help it. Then you might as well just say nobody. I'm like, who needs it then if you had to rank it the most? And I don't know if we could come up with the top five and rank them in order, but we can come up with the top five and not have them in any order. But I had a couple of good ideas, and he had some really good ideas in there, too. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who needs estate planning the most?
Okay, let's narrow it down, because we have a lot of states listening to our show. Which state probably needs it the most? I would say Louisiana.
Yeah.
Because of community property. Now, for example, Mississippi and most states, it's joint tenant with right of survivorship. So let's just say Jane and John live in Mississippi. John passes. No will or anything, but his stuff goes to her, like the house, the car. Joint tenant with right of survivorship is kind of the law of the land there. So that makes it easier. Still doesn't simplify it there, because there's more to it than that. But just kind of as a rule, kind of like, okay, the house, one of your biggest investments you have. Hopefully your 401k is much bigger than the value of your house one day. But we'll say that's a pretty big value there. Now, let's go back to Louisiana, and you die intestate, which means no will. And you have kids. You have kids. There's a community split of the property. And we'll let Wes go more into that. When's he going to be with us?
11 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we'll let him explain a little more of that. That's a reason to join us. But it is complicated. It's not like joint tenant with right of survivorship. Well, whatever's the husband's is now the wife's. No, there's the kids have some interest in that.
Yeah, and in the discussion Wes and I were having, we may rank that number six just because it's so broad. And there's like eight or nine community property states, but there's the one that makes Louisiana the most troublesome for estate planning is the Napoleonic Code.
Yeah, forced heirship.
Yes.
And that stuff in there.
Okay, so I felt kind of dumb because we sort of talked about this yesterday on the show, and I was thinking the two people that I would recommend need to just turn the radio off and call an estate planning attorney right now is people who have special needs children.
Yes, really high up there.
I mean, they have the most to lose, I would think, period. And the number two that I brought up on the show, and I brought it up with Wes today when we were talking, is people whose estate is subject to the estate tax. I mean, they really have the most to lose, especially monetarily speaking. And then I felt really dumb because Wes said something super obvious and just lets me know how shallow I am. And he said, no, James, the person who needs estate planning the most, needs a will, needs to call me right now, is someone with a terminal medical condition. I was like, oh, well, yeah, okay. He's absolutely right. How did I overlook that?
It's easy to do so. We don't think of it necessarily as complicated until that event comes up. And you think of it just from a family standpoint. Who is going, if when they put me under for the surgery or whatever to try to save my life from cancer or something, I'm just out there, which and we're not even getting to the death part, but just that, and you've got serious health situations, and you know the end might be foreseeable, You know, you've got, there's a document like who's going to make final decisions. And so what if that spouse is no longer there? Because that's common. The spouse has the say there. But you can see where complications get involved, and then who gets what, you know, and then, okay, say it is the spouse and you've got IRAs and you're ill and they need money and you can't communicate without right documents. They don't have access to those IRAs to get some money or that 401k or that individual account. So you have to think about how things are set up because the wife can say, well, that's my money too. And yeah, it is her money too, but you don't have access to it in that case.
And it's such an easy fix. You don't have to leave them in the lurch. And yeah, there's only a small percentage chance it'll ever be used. But if you do need it, thank goodness if you have it, because we've heard horror stories going both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. The POA, power of attorneys. We were having one reviewed in the office the other day where somebody has reached a point where they're needing help.
Yeah, and if you go and you try and read through what estate planning attorneys tell you about when you need an estate plan, they're always going to tell you right now, every day, they're going to tell you right now you need to get an estate plan or at least review it or whatever. But boy, they've got some pretty convincing arguments. Like there was one that said, as soon as your kid turns 18, you need to go out and get a power of attorney over your kid because you can make his medical decisions up until that point, but right then he's an adult and you lose that power.
And most nearest relatives not getting it done? Like, I'm his dad.
Not if he's 18.
Well, who makes the decisions?
If he's incapacitated, same thing as if the married couple and the wife doesn't have a power of attorney. Nobody. All right. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Or you can give us a call or text from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. Yeah, it's live financial talk radio. Phone number is 504-260-0995. You could also, yeah, you can call that number, get on the show, have a conversation about Social Security, maybe your student loans, debt, taxes. Hey, the Lunch and Learns, you heard us mention that earlier in the first segment, and we've got the Lunch and Learn about tax planning coming up, and the bonus segment about building some tax-free income. That's going to be February 19th at noon. You're going to need the RSVP, limited seating. We'll have lunch for you. You need to call the office, 504-832-9200, to reserve a seat. It's going to be in our office building in Metairie, just to give you an idea of the location of that. And you can info@gregoryricks.com is the email as well. And the website's gregoryricks.com.
All right. Megan, New Orleans, you are on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Megan?
Well, I'm a young doctor, just started residency this year.
Congrats.
Thank you. It's exciting, but it's terrifying. I have a very significant amount of student loan debt, close to $500,000. And I financed 100% of my medical school loans, which were pricey. It was a private school. You pay the cost of tuition plus living expenses. It gets close to 100 every year, plus, you know, interest that was accruing while I was in school. I only had about 15 from undergrad. I was fortunate. I had a lot of scholarships and things like that. But I'm married. We have one small child, and we're trying to grow our family. And I'm eligible for the federal student loan forgiveness program, which I plan to enroll in. But right now, it's hard to balance my limited income, you know, knowing eventually I will have a larger income. How do you suggest I attack this?
So, you're married, one child. Does the husband, what field is he in? You don't have to say, but he works, obviously. Is he in the medical field?
He does well, but not at the level I will be at.
Okay. So, how many, undergrad, and you answered the question I was going to ask, was any of that from undergrad and just $15,000. So most of this came from medical school.
So, yes, sir.
And you mentioned you just started residency now, or you finished that?
No, I just started residency okay. this year.
So how many? So is that what, about 5 years of school then? That $500,000?
Mine is. It was 4 years of school for that much.
Okay.
With the interest, it's about that much.
So when are your payments starting? Have they started?
They have, and I have smaller income-based payments right now, but the interest is accruing, you know, and I know right now that's all I, you know, logistically can afford right now. And I have many friends in a similar situation, many, many friends. You know, a lot of people assume physicians make a lot of money, and a lot of students have help from their families when they're paying their tuition, and they're fortunate that they don't have to take out quite as much. Most state schools, students are sitting at about $250. But it's really scary thinking about this, you know, how do we, you know, negotiate this? If I qualify for the Federal Loan Forgiveness Program, in theory, after I have 10 years of regular payments, everything will be forgiven. But in the interim, you know, wanting to buy a house and all these things, I have all this on my credit report that I have this massive income or massive debt with little income for now. You know, we're worried about buying a house and what that's going to mean.
Okay, so you're still renting now. Do you mind sharing what field of medicine?
Emergency.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a brother-in-law in emergency medicine as well. He didn't create that kind of loan, but I guess he's different era, but he worked hard to really minimize that and pay it off fast. This reminds me of the story. Remember the dentist out in California that we covered
his story? USC, and his payments weren't keeping up with the interest.
Right. He created a lot of debt, but the payments weren't keeping up with interest. So he had the debt was escalating, and now he's in that forgiveness program. I think if you pay it for 20 years or something, they'll forgive
it. 10 years. Oh. Yeah, it's 10 years. It's 120 on-time payments, but there have only been a few people that have actually been able to participate in that because it's only for graduates who received loans after 2007. So as of 2017 was the first year that somebody would be eligible for the repayment. And from what I've read and can seem to gather, you know, the financial coordinators at the hospital where I work have counseled us, and you know, our program has brought in, you know, financial advisors, and they don't know much about this program. They don't know how to deal with someone when they have all of these algorithms and things that they recommend to most students or graduates. It's for a much, much lower amount.
Yeah, so, and I believe his program was 20 years, I think. It seemed that it ran out further, but the problem for him is the debt was going to keep going up, and he's liable for the taxes on the forgiven. So,
Gregory, does this sound right? Sorry to interrupt. I think the 10-year span is for people who are in public service. The public service student loan forgiveness program is the 10-year window.
Yeah,
you're right.
He was
this
private.
Guy was on like a 20, or was it 30?
Yeah, it was going a ways out, and his debt was going to be over seven figures then, and he was going to have a pretty big tax liability because it was going to be a large amount of forgiveness, but they're also going to tax him on the forgiveness. Do you have tax liability on this, Megan?
Yes, we do. Okay. Anyone who participates in this does have tax liability on that. There's no cap on it, and what I was referring to was the public student or the public service student loan forgiveness. You basically have to work in underserved community, but every major hospital in the New Orleans metropolitan area qualifies for that. So you can work in a major hospital, even one of the largest hospitals that has multiple locations that is slowly taking over this area. If you're familiar with that, even that institution qualifies.
So that will that forgive all of your student debt?
Yes, sir. For the loans, not my undergrad, but for everything I took out in medical school because I took them out after 2007, it will qualify.
Yeah, we're not too worried about your undergrad. That's $15,000. It's just the rest of it. That sounds like the ticket. If you can make the payments and all, you'll have to deal with the tax consequences there. But the thing to factor in that I would be concerned about is the growth of that debt over that time. You know, could you end up
in the interim? Yeah.
Yeah. Could you end, and you may know that number, but you're looking at the math, the algorithms of it. You know, could you be at that point and still owe $800,000 and then it be forgiven and you've got a $350,000 tax bill or something that
that's
then
exactly
you've got to finance
works.
That?
Yes.
Yeah. So you just got to figure out which way is going to be the best, or you can kind of, or you're kind of like amortizing. You've got a $500,000 house loan. You don't have the house, but you've got you a $500,000 house loan, and do you like amortize that? Do you go the shortcut, or does the taxes eat you up, or is this something you can look at? This is what my career's going to be paying for this for the next 30 years, and look at amortizing it that way, and then the rest of your life is supported by what you make above what you're having to pay. I'm just kind of thinking of a couple different ways to look at it.
Exactly. It's scary because everybody, all my classmates, you know, we're all in the same situation, you know, to varying degrees. I guess we're all worried, how do we buy a house when you have this type of debt? How are you expected to, even, you know, for certain hospitals, I guess from what we've been told, if you are employed by a hospital, a lot of the times they want to know what your, I guess, debt liability is in certain cases, from what I understand, and you know, we don't know how that's going to affect us. I don't have any friends personally who graduated from residency and had a problem getting a job because of this, but you know, I wonder if that could be a potential possibility.
Number of concerns.
Do you recommend meeting with like a financial planner to work out budgets and things like that, or is this just hold out for the rest of residency, assume that you can complete that, and
how long is your residency? We're coming up on a break here in about a minute. How long is your residency expected to be? In
3 years.
3 years. So you've got to get through that. Then the income kicks up. If you had it to do over again, and I know this is early, you just started residency, would you have done something different?
No, sir. I would do this again 12 times.
Okay. Well, then that's just got to figure out how to win going forward.
Exactly.
Then.
And I have no doubt that we will figure it out, but I'm so happy doing what I'm doing. That's why it makes it easy to sleep well every night. But
awesome.
You know,
okay.
You want to help people, but you also want to make sure you can, you know, pay your bills at the end of the day.
Yeah, and hey, I'd like to have a further conversation with you about the math. I'd like to see how this works out, and maybe, you know, we could just have a phone conversation at a later time and talk about this a little bit more, because I'd be interested to see where the math takes you on this.
Yeah, and look, Dr. Megan, you're absolved of guilt. You did nothing wrong to accumulate this debt. You did it for the best reason possible, so...
I hope that everybody remembers that when you're mad at your doctor because your insurance company won't pay for your bills.
You're right. So, Dr. Megan, we'll remember it. Hey, keep us updated. We got to step away. $500,000, Gregory.
Thanks for calling, Megan.
All right, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can do what Dr. Megan did. Call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
It's way too quiet at my place. Wanna come on?
This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. Dr. Megan was a great call. Hey, if you'd like to join the conversation like she did, 504-260-0995. We're on Facebook Live streaming. We're on Periscope streaming. Some people say, well, what's Periscope? Well, Google it. I think it's a link to Twitter, so it's at Gregory Rick. So if you jump on Periscope, but we're on Facebook Live and we're streaming on the iHeartRadio as well. If you have to get away from your air feed, and you can connect to us through the Winning at Life app. So James and I were talking a little bit on the break. So here with Dr. Megan's call, here's just some quick thinking out loud. So she's got the forgiveness program. goes for 10 years, then it's forgiven. I don't know what the payment and interest rate or what the possible escalation is. My worry is that is going to escalate up. I don't know how much that would be committed to pay over that 10-year period. And let's say the loan jumps up to $750,000, $800,000 in that 10, and it might be more, but I'm just saying that could create a tax liability on top of her high income at that time. Could be another $220,000, $250,000, $280,000 in tax liability there. Then the other thing I'm thinking, well, does that prevent her from pulling shifts in other markets? Because my brother-in-law's an ER doctor, and they don't work at their primary job every day or every week. He doesn't do this as much anymore, but he used to pull extra shifts all the time. He's about making money. Heck, you know, yeah. The green. He likes the green there. So he accelerated paying off his debt. And I know other ER doctors, and there's a lot of them that travel around the country and pull extra shifts where they're paying a bunch. So I don't know how that's affected in that student there as well. So the other thing I'm thinking about, with if I owe $500,000, I'm kind of looking at it like a house, knowing I get out of residency, I can make a bunch of money. Do I want to be just tied to right here in New Orleans because of the hospital system gets me on that public 10-year forgiveness? I might, and I don't like the idea of growing the debt, so I'm thinking $500,000, can I amortize that so it's like a house that I'm paying it down over the next 30 years? It's not going to escalate. The interest rates aren't going to get me, and I can pay it off sooner if I want. And I can go work wherever I want, and I can make how much ever I want, and I can pull as many shifts as I want. And I know for certainty I can do that. And she has a huge upside. Look, I've been in the ER 3 times in the past 90 days, a kidney stone condition, and they're the only one that can solve the tremendous pain that happens with that. And that's why I had surgery last week that should end that going forward. But you know, I think ERs are pretty important. That's when, you know, people have car wrecks, all types of injuries. They're very needed. They're important people. What Dr. Megan's going to do for people is going to be awesome.
Literally saving lives.
Literally. Yeah. And so that's kind of my thinking. Those, you've got two directions go. But you also like to, you know, you want to be able to shop your talents, huh?
I like,
yeah, if you want to pull extra shifts, somebody's going to pay more. Well, that's where I want to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is so easy for me to say because it's not my $500,000 in debt, but I would be about paying it off. I don't want to just dump that on the taxpayers. Number one, I don't know if there's some sort of honor system going on here, what's going on in my head, but yeah, I don't want to be tied down. I want to have to worry about running afoul of the plans. I don't want to have to worry about a tax bill after I get forgiveness.
Well, I'm not looking at it as dumping it off on the taxpayers. I'm looking at, she still might not come out ahead. She, you know, paying along the way and still tax liability, you still probably owe it $500,000. And that's why I would want to see the numbers before I headed down that road, to see which way, knowing what the upside is going to be.
So when they forgive your $500,000 in debt, then you have to take out another $500,000 in debt to satisfy the IRS?
Well, you know, like that dentist we talked about, it's going to be a pretty big tax liability for him. I think he's still going to, what, owe $400,000 or something then, and he's got yeah, this escalating debt. Yeah. That's why I would want to see the math. In theory, this discussion's good, but where is the math going to take us there?
Woo! Megan. All right.
Hey, I tell you what, when you go in there for kidney stone, it's not just theory. It's not trial. Well, let's try this. Let's see if this helps Gregory feel better. No, they know exactly what to do. So that's why I would say in theory, we're kind of talking theory because we don't know the number. But, you know, there's two paths, and I'd like to see which one the math takes us on that's the best outcome. I just know when I was going in there and having to be treated for that, after that first time, I knew what was coming in relief. Once I put the IV in, mm-hmm. and then the doctor does the orders for the meds, yeah, pain relief was shortly away.
Does this ever cross your mind when you're on the table and you have this doctor over your neck just hacksawing at your throat thinking, man, I hope he's not too, you know, encumbered and burdened with student loan payments and debt and taxes and all that. I hope he has as few things on his mind as possible right now. He needs to be able to focus on my neck.
For he or she. Yeah, I don't want them worrying about that. I don't. So if there's some help with winning at life here, our radio show or what I do in the day job can help some of that. I think it's good subject matter there to talk about this, where Dr. Megan has $500,000 in debt. But, you know, most people are going to school. We've covered this often. We do it about quarterly where we have a full show talking about it. And that's when we did a rundown on what jobs, you know, what degrees lead to jobs that pay out so much. And some people are getting debt. And, you know, there's people that are likely to be in worse shape than Dr. Megan. I don't know that she's in bad shape, but she is concerned about it, and rightly so. But there's some people creating debt and getting degrees and fields that they probably can't get work. And I know some of these people that are doing other jobs because the field that they have the education in doesn't pay enough so that they can pay off the debt.
All right, let's do a quick look at this story. You told me about this. I first heard this from you. This is Nicole Partsenevelis. I'm sorry, Christina Partsenevelis from Fox Business.
There's a cryptocurrency mystery, $136 million worth of customer holdings stock.
I know.
Somewhere.
This is tell me. This should be a movie out of it. Quadriga is a Canadian.
Quadriga?
Quadriga. Yeah. Is an online cryptocurrency platform. You can exchange cash as well as cryptocurrencies in Nova Scotia. That's where it's based, the headquarters. You have a situation where the founder of the company, who is very cautious about security, unfortunately passed away from complications due to Crohn's disease. 12 days before his death, he wrote a will giving all of the information to his wife, all his assets. And that's where things start to get a little bit murky, because you have over, and this is, some people are saying even 3 million. You said 136. I've seen 145. I reached out to Canadian reporters. Money that has gone missing because it's encrypted. He was the only one with the passwords because he was
Didn't he put the passwords in the will?
No,
it did
that's
not.
The thing. So you have all of these investigators researching it. His wife doesn't know how to answer it. And then you have over 360,000 customers that use this platform, 90,000 that haven't received their money or any of their cryptocurrency. And now there's all these conspiracies. Is it missing? Well, is it offline?
How about,
Did he steal it?
Is he really dead?
He's really dead.
If it's, okay, he's alive. He didn't have to go type in passwords every time somebody wanted to move money. It was operating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why is it not? He's dead. So why does it stop operating? Oh, he doesn't have his password. Well, he was on a trip overseas. He wasn't back at his office putting in his password every time a transaction dinged. I'm confused by that. So, oh, he's dead, so we have to shut it down and stuff. It's a business. It's a coin. It's operating. Something's missing from the story there.
Well, what's missing from the story is this guy's clearly a control freak, and it's really biting him right now. I mean, this is something I see. You don't do this.
Nothing's biting him right now.
Well, that's true. That's true. This is biting his legacy is suffering a little bit because of it. But yeah, I mean, that's a little too much of a control freak.
So this future currency, cryptocurrency, that's not a good sign for it as a currency.
Yeah, we're still working out the kinks on this one. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995, or you can give us a call or text from the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
But you gotta keep your head up. Your head down, you gotta keep your head up, and you can let your head down.
This is it, winning at life.
No, it's hard to remember sometimes.
Are you worrying about your money? Well, let's help possibly ease that. Have I worried about money in the past? My job is to kind of worry about money. I worry a lot about lots of it there, and that's what, you know. some clients that, yeah, Greg, that's what I have you for. I'm not worried about it because I've hired you to worry about it. Just wanting to make sure you're worrying about it.
That's kind of my attitude.
504-260-0995 if you'd like to join the conversation. We will be on the air tomorrow. Same bat station, same bat times. You know what I mean.
I thought it was a bat channel.
It's no. Were you listening to it? You'll be able to listen to us tomorrow. But, you know, if you listen to your air feed, car radio, home radio, and say, well, I'm going to be out raking leaves or something tomorrow. I don't know. Playing with the kids, taking the kids places, eating donuts and getting coffee. Okay, wherever. If you want to pick us up on the stream, you can connect to us through the Winning at Life app, but that's also connecting you through the iHeart Radio stream. So you might want to download that too. And you can pick up our podcasts and such through that. So we're on 10 to 1 tomorrow, 3 hours, live financial talk radio as well. So if you got some questions, gather them up, email. You can text us through that app. You can email us through the app. You can just call as well. If you'd like to have a further conversation, you know, sometimes I'll just take action. Call the office, and you've got questions. That's what we're there for, is call us and ask questions. If you want to come in and have a conversation, do not feel threatened. Nobody's going to make you do anything. We're fiduciaries. Yes, we use the F word around the office. Fiduciary. We're going to help you the best possible way we can, and give you the guidance, and give you the advice, give you direction. And if it means we don't go forward, that's fine there. But that's what we're there for. So what one of the best things to do is utilize guidance. And if you're unsure about somebody selling you an annuity, or am I doing the right thing, my IRA, or what about my old 401ks, or, you know, my job might be ending. Well, that's why we're there, for you to pick up the phone, make the call, have the conversation. The office number is 504-832-9200. And remember, we have a launch and learn on tax planning on the 19th of this month. So call the office if you would like to have lunch with us. It's going to be noon in Metairie in our office building, 504-832-9200. Any messages or anything yet? Let me see if we had any emails in regarding topics.
We had a tweet, but it was for off the air. Periscope looks fine. Facebook Live looks fine. You ready to do the numbers, or are you checking the text?
I don't even have the numbers up yet. Oh, my gosh.
Are we clear? Tell me, and I'll hit it.
Well, I have to check back on the text. My phone's like
your email's 10 just days. Swamped.
Yeah, it's just... I don't get why it's doing that.
Well, in the number segment, you may find out why you want to upgrade your iOS for your Apple products here, Gregory. Hey, welcome to the numbers segment on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Yeah,
Ricks.
I heard about that.
Yep. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today while you were at Winning It Life. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs I'm looking at. You can go to winningitlife.com or download the Winning It Life app. Heck, Gregory's pulling them up right now. All right, so it was a mixed day, but really, let's just call it flat. S&P and NASDAQ were up, but just a piddling amount, and the Dow Jones was down 0.25%. So the Dow Jones lost 63 points, and this number still sounds kind of high, though. 25,106. And just for a marker here, just a landmark, the all-time high is around 26,800. So we're about 1,700 points away from that all-time record. So the uptrend has sort of faltered a little bit, but... it was going in the right direction for about 6 weeks there, wasn't it? So, yeah, that's where we're at on our indices.
Well, at the end of the day, it didn't finish off too bad considering what we saw the lows for today as well. But, you know, it is kind of considering, you know, what the word is on the tariffs aren't looking too good with China.
Yeah, what was the, there's still some considerable distance. What was the wording from Kudlow there?
He said, we're a long ways apart.
Nah, well.
On that, so it's just, well, look, that's no surprise. I'm kind of remembering who they are and who we're dealing with. I think this is going to go on for a while. And China might just kind of say, well, look, do you think he's going to get reelected? So we might outlast him on that. Think about it. And they do they really want to give up their advantage? Think about it.
Of course
not. I don't think it's going to be easy for them to cave. And of course, they have to save face as well. They've got to look good in caving if that's what they're going to do is create some balance. 10-year treasuries, 2.630%. So we're not showing much change on that. Crude oil, $52.71 a barrel. Brent crude, $61.97. Gold's up a little bit today, $1,318.20. Silver, $15.82 per ounce.
All right, so when we go look at the short sheet today, one of the stocks that we have there that was making news was Apple. And this is kind of a cool story here because, yeah, they made a mistake, but it was caught, and the hero is sort of an unlikely
kid.
Yeah, 14-year-old kid. We go to Christina Parts and Novelis of Fox Business again.
So the flaws actually has to do with the live photos. They were doing a security audit of FaceTime. We know last week it came out that if I FaceTimed you in a group chat and you didn't answer, I could still eavesdrop on your conversation,
okay,
which is crazy because you're able to. I'm able to listen on you and you don't even know. The other flaw that they have now discovered involves live photos. I reacted to this because I use live photos mm-hmm. quite often. All it is it's just it's an option on your phone when you're taking pictures. Instead of taking a moment in time, it takes like a tiny 3-second video right. instead. And so that too now has a bug on it. They're not giving details as to can they eavesdrop with the live photos? Are they sending the live photos? Mm-hmm. There's so many unanswered questions. Just quickly though, the 14-year-old that found the flaw is going to be compensated by Apple as well, and they're going to give him a grant towards his tuition.
Yay! So it worked out nice for him. He updated his phone. He tried to FaceTime a friend, and before the friend even answered the FaceTime call, he could already hear his buddies chatting in the room they were in. Tells Apple about it. They do the right thing, put out the fix, and they compensate the guy.
I thought he discovered the pick problem. The FaceTiming was figured out.
No, this is the guy that figured out the FaceTiming one before. Oh, we don't know where the pick one came from, and okay. We don't even know what the problem is on the pick yet. They just had the FaceTime one last week, and that got explained earlier this week.
Very interesting. Little technical gaffes there. Hey, one of the things, and we had a caller about this on the show last night, and he had some military history where they weren't deducting Social Security back in the day, and he was concerned about how that would affect him. What we hear from a lot is government employees or municipal employees that are tied to state pensions, and this isn't just in relegated to a couple of states. This is actually throughout the country we see this effect. But when we talk about the windfall elimination provision, this is a provision that can affect how your retirement or disability benefit is calculated. If you work for an employer who doesn't withhold Social Security taxes from your salary, such as a government agency or an employer in another country, any retirement or disability pension you get from that work can reduce your Social Security benefits. When can your benefits be affected? The provision can affect you when you earn a retirement or disability pension from an employer who didn't withhold Social Security taxes and you qualify for Social Security retirement or disability benefits from work and other jobs for which you did pay taxes. So we have a number of people that have called in and asked about this where they did have some work history in the private sector, but now they've been working in the public sector. School teachers are some of that mixed use there. So the windfall elimination provision can apply if you reach age 62 after 1985 or you become disabled after 1985. And you first become eligible for a monthly pension based on work where you didn't pay Social Security taxes after 1985. The rule applies even if you're still working. There are some exceptions to that. We're going to talk more about that in the 10 o'clock hour tomorrow morning when we do Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. If you need to continue this conversation, call me at my office. We can give you some help, some guidance. Come in and get a second opinion. Office number is 504-832-9200.
And your home away from the show is winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Go there. You can RSVP for our events. You can get in touch with Gregory, anyone from the Total Wealth Authority, and you can listen to our podcast. You can watch us live, and it's free. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.